Blog Talk Radio.
Along the Way Radio, another Tuesday, and I'm one of your co-hosts, Demetria, and joining me is,
hello everyone,
this is Tanya, happy Tuesday,
once again,
hey Tanya,
hey,
did you hear that voice,
did you hear that voice that's calling in?
That was my husband saying he was Mr. Bridges and he was here.
We have another guest.
No, he's not staying with us. He was just here for the moment, so he was just saying hello. And I didn't know if you heard him or not.
Well, hello, Derek. I'm sorry I didn't.
I'm just going to say hello for him because he already stepped back out of the room. He listens to our shows and he's involved in me talking things out. And believe it or not, I don't want to get, too ahead of ourselves. I know we kind of chat a little bit, but tonight's topic was actually his idea.
Yeah. Okay, I wish he would have joined us. But tell him I said thanks for the idea. That's cool.
Yes, I will tell him. How are you?
I'm fine, but I want to say that explains why I saw someone in a text message you had sent me. You prefaced one of the Saints football players, and I said, okay, that's interesting. She's keeping up with sports. But now I think that's a little bit.
Now you understand. You understand that didn't come from me. Now it makes more sense, right?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yeah. He gave me this idea like a week or two ago. So, yeah. I'm glad for that. So how's your day going so far, your week, rather?
So far, so good. Started off really busy, but a good busy. So, so far, so good.
Yes, I can say the same, especially about the busyness. I'm going to have to do something about that. I'm going to have to make up my mind and just do something about that. I don't like being this busy. I need some time to just sit, read a book. I went to a meeting two Saturdays ago, and one of the topics that came up was books, traditional paperback or hardcover books with pages versus the electronic books. And I'm still an advocate of traditional books. I have yet to read an e-book. But the person that was there talking, they were advocating the e-book and saying you can get more done. While you're reading or rather listening to a book being read to you, you can run, you can walk, you can do the dishes. And I said, I need the time to just sit and do nothing but read. I'm missing that in my life. So I'd rather be able to just do that and not be caught up in doing something else. I need a little less on my plate. I don't know how many other people feel that way, but I need to slow down. I just do.
Yeah, you have been rather busy lately because I haven't seen you in a couple of months. And
I know.
We've changed up the format a little bit, which did help me out quite a bit. I finished the bathroom. Yay! And so, I have to invite you over so you can see it. But so that did help me a lot, being able to host the show from home. But still, we would try to touch bases with each other. And so I kind of miss you a little bit. I have to admit.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I understand that you have a lot to do and you have your wifely duties and work and all that. So I know it's been hectic, especially the summer session at school and stuff. So.
Oh, and it's just getting started all over again because the semester just ended. So, of course, it picks up a little speed right now, getting ready to go into that fall semester. So it's all good, but it's definitely a roller coaster ride. Yeah. And for those of you who might be listening in and haven't heard previous shows, Tanyelle had a renovation project going on at her home. So that's what she was referring to when she said she's got the bathroom done.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm blown away. I am not the interior designer by any means. But thanks to, I want to send a shout out to Pinterest. I hope I'm saying that, pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah.
I want to just send that special shout out because it helped me immensely. And I'm a little surprised. I'm like, go ahead, girl, you got it going on. So, there's a lot of good ideas out there from DIY people do-it-yourselfers who post things on that particular website. So. Check it out if you're ever trying to get any help with anything. So let's get started. I'm excited about this topic, especially that you interjected sports. I'm ready to get started. I don't know about you, but can you throw out the phone number?
Sure. Tonight's topic is the glamorous life. We're talking about fame and fortune and the rise and sometimes the fall of celebrities. We have a caller who's called in already. I want to welcome you to Ministry Along the Way Radio and thank you for tuning in with us tonight. If you want to join in the conversation, go ahead and push the number 1 for you who are already on the switchboard. Those of you listening by computer, if you want to call us, dial 347-637-3604. And again, just press the number 1 if you want to talk with us live.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, ma'am, the glamorous life. You heard my little Sheila E. introductory music, right?
Yes, I heard it.
I couldn't resist. Yes. While we were talking, Mr. Bridges and I were talking, and talking about the different people, it just popped in my head, like, whoa, this is the glamorous life. This is what people strive for. A lot of people have made it their goal to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have indeed achieved that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the question for the description of the show. I said, the glamorous life isn't all it appears to be, or is it? Now, when you look at celebrities, Tanyelle, I don't know, what do you see?
A lot of pressure. I see a lot of pressure. My heart goes out to people who are, in that position. I know at a first glance, we see these lives that we want to, we want to attain that lifestyle or, most people anyway, and that's why celebrities are celebrities. And And because people stay in tune with what they're doing, want to keep up with their lives, that's why celebrities get the infomercial jobs and, you know, the commercials, things like that, because if a celebrity says right. it's good, we all believe it's good. I just think that's a lot of pressure to keep up that type of appearance that you're on all of the time.
Right.
So I, you know, yeah.
Right. It's like it's always action. It's mm-hmm. always it's like the director has just called action and it's time mm-hmm. to perform. So that, mm-hmm. I agree with you, that is a whole lot of pressure. And some people handle it very well and others don't, unfortunately. And we've been mm-hmm. seeing that. I mean, it's nothing new. We've seen it generation after generation. Actors, actresses, singers, athletes, like we mentioned just a few minutes ago. It's not really exclusive to any one group or one occupation. If you've made a name for yourself in a particular field, you know, it carries a lot. Carries a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard
yeah,
to measure up.
It is. And I've also noticed that you have, you know, you have two sides to that, possibly, if I'm able to say that. You'll have the person, as you stated early on in your introduction, that some people strive to be famous. They
right.
And I would like to take that to some people strive to be good at what they do, okay? And so if you have a football player, there's different positions. He's striving to be the best player at his position, and I don't believe anything is wrong with that. If you have an actor or an actress, that person is striving to be the best at his or her position, at, you know, in his or her craft. I don't think anything is wrong with that. A singer who strives to be the best singer. I think the problem comes in when you have that other part of it where a person then makes that his or her how can I say it? They live off of that. That's their lifeline. That's their
right.
And I don't mean financial lifeline. I mean that is what keeps them going. That's what they lean and depend on. Like they have to be noticed. They have to maintain that status of the best all of the time, not
right.
fully realizing that somebody else is going to come along the way and take on that position at some point, not knowing how to adapt to fans who may stop loving you at some point and they may pick up and love somebody else. So sometimes folks are not realizing that those are just, that's just for the moment. And that's like with any job,
right?
Your job, my job,
right.
They're for the moment, right?
Exactly.
So again, my mm-hmm. I'm
no,
sorry. I thought you were getting ready to say something. So again, that pressure that comes into play with people who are not only trying to be the best in their position or craft, but also who depend on that celebrity, depend on that notoriety, depend on hearing their names being, you know, said amongst the loud system or on the headlines. And when all of that is over, they don't know how to cope. Or when they feel like it's coming to an end, they don't know how to cope. And I just believe that, again, that pressure, my heart goes out to any individual like that. So as I've grown into a level of maturity and also grown in Christ, I realize that these are just people. And, you know, we should treat them as such. They're human, just like you and I. And they have feelings and they have insecurities and all that other stuff. They lose loved ones and they are concerned about a loss of a job, just like we are. They just may have a couple of more digits in the bank than we do.
Right. Now, some of them, they reach such a status, though, that, and I know that there are people who could be in their circles who are just leeches, just jumping on for the ride to get what they can get from people. But at some point, some of these people start to believe all that hype about themselves, so they become quite demanding to their own demise. So just it's such a balancing act. And to see it portrayed publicly, I mean, you're so vulnerable, and maybe they don't realize it, but they're so vulnerable playing this out publicly that when they fall, it's like everybody knows it. We have this some kind of love-hate relationship with celebrities. I mean, we, the average people. So, mm-hmm. you know, things are good. We might love them today. We might hate them tomorrow. We might see a slip-up or something, and now it's time to say, oh, my goodness, did you see what they did? Did you hear what they said? But are we contributing in some way to the hype that they sometimes believe about themselves, that ego? And that ego gets out of control. You know, it's a monster.
It really is. And it goes back to what, you know, basically what I was trying my best to kind of convey is that you have those individuals that know this is a job and they enjoy what they do. They should, you know, not taking that away from them. But then you have those that this is their lifeline. This is what gets them going every day. So then they do begin to develop these huge egos, these larger-than-life egos, because some people can't be by themselves. I mean, there may be some self-esteem issues, so they need that. Like, they need that notoriety. They need to feel that someone is beneath them. They need that. And let me be honest, I mean, you can see that just in your workplace sometimes. If a person, you know, gets a promotion to a supervisory position and all of a sudden, you know, they may get the big head. Now, let's just multiply that 100 times where, you know, you're being seen on television all the time. People are saying your name all the time. You're in the media all the time. You know, you get the big head if you're not that person who can balance it, if you're not grounded. You know, it can be quite destructive. And I think that's what you're saying. It can be quite destructive.
Exactly.
And you hit on something, too, about the people around those folks, you know, the people around them. You know, it has to be a lonely world when you can't trust those around you, you know, because everybody's wanting to say yes all the time. Nobody's wanting to tell you no. And God forbid you have some type of codependency type issue or something like that, then that person is feeding into that because they want to keep you oblivious to everything around, you know, you. And so they are constantly feeding you whatever your codependency is. And I'm going to speak right now. If it's anything of a substance, you know, then people are feeding you that all the time to keep you. And I can rattle off a couple of celebrities' names right now whom I loved listening to their music, and one in particular who would say that, you know, people around them kept her kind of, you know, delusional. They fed her habit to keep her not knowing what was going on with her finances and things like that. So it's sad, Demetria. It really is, and you have to be grounded. You really have to be grounded to go into that, I think, that type of atmosphere.
Yes. Now, I'm thinking right now about, believe it or not, I'm thinking about Red Fox. Fred Sanford himself. I watched a documentary on him, and you'd be surprised. Maybe not, but of course he came from very humble beginnings. But here his star is on the rise, and he had that entourage around him at one point, and that's exactly what happened. He was taking care of everybody, and maybe people don't know that this man was broke. He was sitting high on top of the world at one point in time, and then he had all these parasites in his world, plus he didn't know how to manage it. So he had that flaw, if I can call it that, in his character, where he, you know, he had some crazy ideas. He didn't think he had to pay taxes. He thought, hey, I want whoever books me, you need to pay me in cash, because he thought if he got paid in cash, he wouldn't have to pay taxes. Well, he was in for a rude awakening when here comes the IRS knocking. But that showed me that he couldn't handle it. He didn't know. He had this great celebrity status, but in all honesty, he wasn't ready for it. It wasn't just because a person is a celebrity doesn't necessarily mean that they should be. It's like maybe you stepped out of, I don't want to say a safety zone, because we can't just live in a box and we can't just live not taking risks. But when you see the demise of some people and it's so tragic, it's like, God, maybe that wasn't the best for them at all.
I think about when you said getting paid under the table is basically what people call it on the street. And, I mean, you have people do that every day in your typical jobs. I mean, in the restaurant industry, a barber who has his or her own business, a stylist, I can go on and on, a contractor. But, again, let's amplify this 100 times fold, and you have a man such as Red Fox who says, I'm going to beat the IRS. His story is larger. His infraction is larger. Now everybody's knowing about it. And, you're right, not receiving the proper money management assistance, or probably not even wanting to take it. Who knows? I mean, I don't know the full story, but may not have wanted to take it. But let's just say he took that barbershop mentality, and I'm not, guys, ladies, forgive me for using this example. I'm not suggesting that every hairstylist is doing this, but that's what I was brought up knowing, seeing some of that. So I'm only speaking from my experience. But let's just say he took that mentality and he parlayed it over to now he's working in this industry and I'm going to find a way to hide some of my earnings. You know,
right.
So when you say not being ready, perhaps he just wasn't ready for the adjustment. You know what I'm saying? Like the skill set was there for what he had to do, be a comedian and all that, but just the not being ready to maintain the other stuff that came with it. And
right.
And that's awful. A person who had low self-esteem of a sudden. Yeah, a person who may have a low self-esteem, all of a sudden everybody knows your name. All of a sudden, you know. I mean, come on. Of course, remember being in high school? Well, I don't know if you cared about that or not, but you wanted to have friends. So the same situation is just magnified, you know. The athletes that have all the females that are running after them, we can say this over and over again, that most of the girls are gold diggers. Most of them want to be baby mamas. We've seen athletes that have succumbed to that, where, you know, they are paying child support out the wazoo. We've seen it. They've seen it. They know the story, could write the book, but we see it constantly perpetuated because he's a human being.
It doesn't change it. It doesn't change it.
Because
they're the story keeps being repeated and replayed over and over again. Bringing up the athletes now, one name, I know you mentioned the Saints player, and that's Mr. Bridges brought him up a couple weeks ago, or last week I think it was, that he was let go. And I don't know the full story, so you may have to help me fill in the blanks, but this is Junior Gallette, very promising career, new. Am I correct in that? New to the NFL?
Fairly new.
And because of his antics off the field, not on the field, not his performance on the field, but his antics off the field in his private life, well, his private life kept becoming public. He kept making the news, and the team finally decided to let him go. So,
and
again,
I just found out today that another team picked him up. So,
is that right? Well,
I heard
that's not even
the Chiefs. I have to check that out. No, I heard Kansas City had to pick him up, and he was let go from the salary. They still had to pay him.
A portion of it, right? He didn't get the bonus money,
if I'm not mistaken, which is probably a nice portion. Let's just say, you know,
yeah,
I haven't
whatever he
read
got
too much into
was a,
it.
It was a nice portion. But it's just sad that it had to come to that. I mean, that's no positive testament to him that he got to walk away with a penny just because of what brought about them releasing him. It's like you just couldn't get it together for whatever reason, and it happens over and over again. Another athlete that Mr. Bridges brought up is Latrell Sprewell. Have you heard of him? an NBA, former NBA player. Yes. Yes, and I, you know, I don't know these people, right? That's why he should be in here having this conversation with us. You know? But this guy, he fought a couple of teammates, pulled out a 2x4 to come after one of them, and actually choked his coach.
When yeah, he had a lot of anger issues.
Coach.
Yeah.
And then, the you know, that's, he's on that slippery slope, and it just took him all the way down. I don't know his status today, but there's a lot of loss because he couldn't manage.
It's a lot. It goes back to, again, one, I just want to preface that these are human beings that have been given, that have been put on a, you know, on a platform or on a stage. Now everybody knows them, so whatever issue they have, everybody's going to know the issue. Fortunate for most of us who are not on that stage, the issues that we have where we're trying to get along with a supervisor, we're trying to get along with a coworker, it's not publicized, not giving any of these people leeway for doing what they've done. But you would assume, like a Sprewell, that he, you know, he has all this talent that the behavioral issues aren't there. And that's just not the case, you know. It's just not the case. You got young guys who come into a certain amass a certain amount of wealth, who probably have also gotten so much attention while in high school and also in college, got a lot of pat on the back, and now they're in a professional, you know, arena, and this is they, some of them can't handle it. The anger issues probably have always been there, not even manifested themselves, you know. And that's why I just
and
really try.
That goes to my question about do we contribute? So like you said, all through high school, maybe through college, they've been treated like royalty and catered to, and here, and especially now, if you do reach that celebrity status. So are there other contributing factors, and where do we draw the line? I mean, and especially now with social media, I mean, we can tap into their lives. They get on social media and tell you all of their business that some of it we wouldn't know if they wouldn't share it. So then,
as a matter of fact, that's how Gillette
feels like they have. What's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, as a matter of fact, I believe that's how they're pinpointing that that was Junior Gillette, because earlier that day or something, he had posed in a picture that was posted on Instagram wearing supposedly the exact clothing, and I'm just, all this is alleged, right, and I'm just want to make sure I stress that. And so that picture was posted on Instagram, so it was like folks are saying it was him because he had the same outfit on, and that was posted the same day as he supposedly allegedly had did the act on the beach hitting the young lady with the belt. Yeah, we contribute, Misi. We do contribute because we go beyond liking somebody's talent and skill, and then we start to fall in love with the person as if we know them. Like I joke sometimes and I say, oh, Mary is my friend. That's my girl. You know, I love her. You know, I love her musical skills. And we sometimes go a little bit overboard where we feel like we know these people. And I'm guilty of it, you know. She's my girl. If she ever comes to New Orleans, let her know I'll cook her a sweet potato pie. Nah, I don't know what kind of person Mary is. Mary may throw my pie in my face. But because I've seen multiple interviews that she's done, you know, the assumption is that she's a cool person, she's a sweetheart, and I love her music. And most of it at the time, depending on, you know, where I was in my life, her music, I related to it. So, but that doesn't mean that, you know, she's to be a best friend now. You know what I'm saying? And that you have to keep up with every single thing that these people do, which I didn't do that, but still, and that's what happens. That's why you have the Kardashian family.
We feel like we have a right to voice our opinion about these people because they've made themselves so public and so in our faces. Like, they want us to know. So we feel like, okay.
And some of that we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of that scene. We want to be, you know, I heard rapper 50 Cent. He's supposed to be going through bankruptcy right now. And when I was reading the articles, I don't know how true all of them are, but he supposedly had stated under oath that that his expenses outweighed his income. And that at one particular time, he said he swap out chains and he may tell a jeweler to take a current chain that he has and refurbish it to look like another chain, right? So he's recycling jewelry. And he said that, you know, there's a certain image that a rapper has to keep up. There's a certain image that I have to keep up. And I'm saying to myself, wow, but why does he have to keep up that image? Because the people who are listening to him expect that image and that those people want that lifestyle. So a part of all of that is creating this facade of this wonderful lifestyle. And I'm sorry, some of these people are struggling to just to maintain that lifestyle. And so, yeah, we contribute. We don't just listen to a person's music and like the product that they're putting out. We don't just look at athletes on the field and appreciate the product that they're putting out. We want to go beyond that. We want to delve into all of their business and know who they're dating, what foods they're eating, what's their favorite meal. I don't know. It kind of gets a little crazy. And now with social media, it's a little bit off,
exactly.
Off the wall. You know, I can understand if somebody's branding themselves. And yeah.
And we have an
app. If somebody's selling a product, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That we have an avenue to be semi-celebrities ourselves with Facebook,
exactly,
and Twitter and Instagram. So we can experience just a little bit of it ourselves. I mean, that's what it's for. You know, I hear people saying that nobody knows the real things that are going on in their lives. Nobody says, you know, I just yelled at my kids. Of course not. That's not what it's for.
Right.
That's not what it's for. It's to talk about the bright, shining moments in our lives, and, you know, so that we can look good for a moment in time.
Right.
Our 15 minutes of fame, you know, we're going to have it.
Right.
I do
you
admire
know, I was,
people who, I said, I do admire those people who can step back from it, though. And there have been probably countless, might sound a little corny what I'm getting ready to say, but, you know, I'm a fan of classic movies. Shirley Temple, and everybody knows who Shirley Temple is, at one point in her life, very, very early on, as a young adult, she decided this is enough. This is enough. That's my last movie. And she stepped away. And she didn't go back. And I admire her for being able to do that. There are others when they say, you know what, it's enough. I'm going into my private life. I'm going to raise my children. I'm going to be a wife. I'm going to go raise horses, or, you know, another one, Ginger Rogers. Did you know she had a dairy with cows and everything, and she bottled the milk? Did you know that?
No.
You know, just stepped out of the limelight. And so that says something. That's strength of character to me. Like, you know what? This is taking me as far as it's going to go. I need to get off this train.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's admirable, even those who have maintained it and who've been able to balance it and understand that it's just that, it's entertainment. And when I'm on for work. And when I'm off, I'm off. Like you and I, when we go home, that's it. The door closes, that's it. But unfortunately, you know, it's a struggle to be able to do that. And like I said, I know people utilize social media to brand themselves if they're selling a certain product. I understand that to a certain degree, but I think it's just gotten a little bit too carried away with how intrusive we want to be in a celebrity's life, how much we want them to give. It's like we just want these people to be on 24/7, and I think that's just a little chaotic. I mean, you know, come on now. It's okay to love what somebody does, and that's your favorite artist and all that kind of stuff. But give the people some breathing space. I mean, really. You know.
Well, all right, let's take a little breathing space right now and take a break, okay?
Okay, we can do that.
All right. We'll be back.
thank you for staying with us through our break. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. My name is Demetria. I'm one of your co-hosts.
And I am Tanya. Welcome back, folks.
Yes, tonight our topic is the glamorous life. We're talking about fame and fortune tonight and the rise and fall of celebrities. Asking the question, why is it that so many people who experience fame and fortune, they often have such tragic downfalls? So we're just chewing this topic right now. Tanya, I want to go ahead and bring up Whitney Houston and her daughter, Bobby Christina. I think everybody knows that Bobby Christina just, I'm going to say, passed. I know people are saying that happened a long time ago, but she just passed and she was just laid to rest. And everybody's heartbroken about that. But it definitely speaks to what we're talking about tonight. These sometimes tragic downfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, you sit back and wonder, like, oh, I can't believe this happened in almost the same way that it happened to her mother. But think about a conversation that you and I had on the show a few weeks back. We were talking about hypocrisy, the Great Pretender. That was the name of that show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember, but at some point we were talking about being careful how you live, being careful what you portray, especially, really importantly, to your children, but to other people, because other people are watching. And one of the reasons why is because we don't know how far that other person will go. We may only go this far. Others might go further than that. They might not be able to pull themselves back. So it's very important, and I couldn't help but thinking about that when I considered the events that just transpired with Bobby Christina's passing. And I don't know. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, it pretty much culminates what we've been talking about. We spoke on people not being able to handle that status, people who may have people around them that are not there for their best interest. They're just promoting what the celebrity brings. People getting accustomed to a certain lifestyle, so they may turn their faces to some things that are not right and act like I don't see it because we still have to maintain this certain lifestyle. Now I'm just going to speak from like a sister, pretty much, and I just felt my heart goes out to the late Bobby Christina because I just feel like she never really got a chance to grieve her mom properly. You know, just standing in the background watching how quickly she was able to, I think she was getting jobs and, you know, acting jobs. And I went back to look at one of the interviews she had done with Oprah, and she said that she was going to carry on her mom's legacy. Those were huge shoes to fill. Everybody wants everybody to be a parent. Don't get me wrong. And that's not a goal that she, that's a goal that she should have been attaining. But that's just huge shoes to fill, especially when you just lost your mom like a couple of, you know, maybe a month or so prior to that interview. I forget, it was in a quick time.
It was a very fast interview. It was really quick.
So not being able to, this was her mom, like she's the only child, no sibling really to lean on. You know, I know she had her family around her, but, you know, it just helps when you have that you know, I'm not the only child, so I know that would have helped me had I been her. And just, it just seems like she didn't have that proper time to really grieve her mom, who she dearly loved so much, and she saw tragically die. Not, she didn't physically see her, but she was in the vicinity. And so because the engine had to keep going, work had to keep going on, things had to keep, you know, had to continue. So there's no stop and pause. You do the interview, you know, tell a people, because that, you know, all that to me was just a part of the package, a part of keeping that engine running. We have to stay in, you know, you have to stay in front of the camera, let people know who you are. We got to keep this going. And that's just my personal view on it. Again, it's, you know, a little too late, but my heart does go out to the entire situation. I hope that this is a lesson not just for that family, but for all families, for my family, your family, for you know, for us to know that, you know, that sometimes you have to give people a break no matter what's going on and not always put money as the focal point of everything, which, yeah. I just really want to share, when I thought about, when you said this title, I immediately thought about Paul talking to Timothy. And when Paul was just giving Timothy instruction on how to talk to a particular church and just saying how they should address certain people, people of certain ages, and also people of different economic backgrounds. And there's a section where Paul says in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter where he's talking just about what we're talking about. And if I can, because I know our time is going to run short, but I just want to ask, is somebody waiting to say anything? Is somebody waiting
to...
No,
go ahead.
Okay. All right, so I want to start with verse 10. And I'm reading from the King James Version. I was thinking I should do New Living but translation, but I kind of like the King James Version. But anyway, so it starts off, we know this, we've heard it, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, so and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And then he goes on and he picks back up on the same point. This is Paul again talking to Timothy in 17. He tells Timothy to charge them. He's talking to the rich people. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. So don't think too much of themselves. Don't be arrogant. Nor trust in uncertain riches, because, you know, money isn't everything. It's currency. It comes and goes. But in the living God. So put your faith and trust only in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to help, willing to communicate, and also in the New Living Translation it says willing to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So basically, you know, Paul and Timothy teach them who are rich not to rely on their riches, but to rely on me and to make certain that they have a foundation in Jesus Christ and to focus on their eternal life, not this life here right now. Doesn't say that people shouldn't be rich. Doesn't say that, you know, at all. Because I know we've heard that, you know, money is the root of all evilness. It is once we allow it to consume
us. That's a misquote, though, and that's why people get that wrong. It doesn't say
Right. When he said to covet... when he said to covet, it's because you're making this, like I said in the very beginning, your focal point. This is your lifeline. It's your everything. This has become your idol. It's everything, and we shouldn't put anything like that that's fleeting, that can come and go, as our lifeline. So Paul is reminding us through this particular scripture to put Jesus Christ first. And when we do that, you can't go wrong. And that stuck out at me. And you're right, Nisi, that is always misquoted, because it's not to say people shouldn't be rich. It's just telling you, giving you instructions on how to maintain that type of lifestyle, you know?
And, you brought us in a direction that I'm going to segue off of, because we're talking about celebrities, and we are living in the time of the Christian celebrity. And they're right up there with the worldly celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely out of balance. So when Paul's instructions here for Timothy, you know, the people, and I know it says, charge them that are rich in this world, but again, this message is to believers. So you can be a believer in the world and be rich. So what I'm saying is, just the average Joe out there who's not a believer, you know, they're not gonna take this to heart. But we as believers, we should. So that's why I'm a little perplexed about the Christian celebrity, and we have many, many, many of them.
is so clear to anybody who has the eyes to see it, what's going on there, that this is business and it's no longer ministry. And that's a dangerous trap. It's a dangerous path to walk down. It's for so many different reasons, personally for that individual, but also because you're leading other people into this. And once again, you're that example. So other people are intrigued and think, I want that too. And this becomes my goal now, that I'm going to have these, I'm doing air quotes right now, okay, blessings. The blessings of God. It's, you know, you just want stuff from God. You don't really want God.
Like God and Santa Claus.
Yeah, you just want what stuff that he might provide you. And it's, again, it's a dangerous path to walk down. And, again, other people are watching. There's so many mega churches today that the little local church now, you know, pastors are striving to be that mega church that they see on TV or that they see doing in the conferences from out of town, and to look and see, like, this is where we've gotten, that there's so much worldliness in the body of Christ that we've got to find this balance. And for those who, again, I'll go, for those that have an ear to hear, you know, hear what the Spirit is saying, this is not the path. This is not the path. That path leads to destruction. Again, we're supposed to be laying up for our treasures in heaven, that moth and rust won't come in and corrupt. So definitely for what you just read, I mean, that's applies to the body of Christ. And I'm taking it that step further right now to those Christian celebrities. Because, Tanya, this is the thing. People don't see. And when the Bible says that even the very elect could be deceived, I believe a lot of people are under deception.
Absolutely,
I say so much. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You've got those spiritual eyes. I'm talking about discernment right now. That's all I'm talking about. Be discerning. And you don't get that without spending time with God and learning his word and learning his heart. But once our heart gets put in front of God, we're on the wrong path. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. And God didn't say don't be rich, but he did say some things about the rich. It's going to be very difficult for them to make it. I mean, he said it. It must be true.
It must be true. And remember, you know, in this instance, you know, Paul is talking to Timothy, who will be addressing the church. So you're absolutely right when you're saying that you're talking about the body of Christ and, you know, the church. So a lot of this is talking to the believer and, you know, just keeping them on guard about some of those things. When you amass certain wealth, how you should, you know, act. And basically, I heard you say something when you were explaining all of that. I heard righteousness, and that there's more of gimme, gimme, gimme from God and less of a striving, you know, or maybe I'm putting words into your own mouth, but I heard the part about you saying about, you know, people are looking at God for what he can give us. And I want to add to that and say that we should be striving for righteousness. And that's, again, what Timothy, Paul said in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So for those people who always want to say, oh, they just want to, you know, Christians want to be self-righteous or whatever. Now, I get the negative connotation to that self-righteous part, like you being judgmental. But God said, here is his word, is saying to strive to go after those things that are righteous. So if we're going after things that are righteous, that means he wants us to strive to become righteous. That's the purpose of all of this. Otherwise, what are we doing? You know, why are we meeting up on Sunday? Why are we fellowshipping in Bible study? Why are we saying read at your own quiet time and do daily devotions? You know, why are we praising and worship? Why are we even praying to God? You know, why should we believe? We're striving to be righteous until we see him on that special day. And so, you know, I'm just going to pretty much stop there and just say that, Demetria, this was a really good segment. I am very glad that both took the approach of just shedding light on the situation and not coming across like we're beating down on celebrities, because we're not. You know, these are people who need love just like we need love, and they go through things just like we do. And, you know, we're to pray for our fellow brethren and even for lost souls. And that's what I'm learning to do more of.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And this is a good place, Tanya. We can end here. It was a good show, and I appreciate all the listening ears who tuned in tonight. Thank you once again for joining us. We appreciate you so much. You don't know. We really do. We've got some faithful listeners, and we can't say thank you enough.
Thank you. Until next week,
we are just going to say good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Demetria. Bye-bye.